So normally when you have Steven Spielberg and the Walt Disney Company come together, you actually have some decent films. I gotta say this for the BFG, which is a 2006 American fantasy adventure film. Like I said, directed and produced by Steven Spielberg, but it's written by Melissa Marison. It's based on the 1982 novel of the same name by Roald Dahl. This is interesting. I mean, this film, man, I didn't know what to expect because I actually never read the book. I remember the story, and I remember being about a little boy and the giant. That's as far as I know. So going into this movie, I was really, really, really hesitant because I had heard there were bad reviews. And I'm like, well, I always do. Disney reviews are our thing, and there seems to be a new Disney movie out every month. So, of course, I'm going to do it. You know, this is what I, you know, this is what I'm here for. And the BFG, overall, as a movie, if you knew the story of the book, you might be a little disappointed. But as a movie, to take the time and actually watch it, I mean, this movie was 117 minutes. Like, Jesus. This movie was, like, almost 2 hours. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit. But, I mean, you had Walt Disney Pictures, Amblin Entertainment, Reliance Entertainment, Walden Media, the Kennedy and Marshall Company. I mean, everybody fucking came together for this film. Distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. Release date was May 14th of 2016 in the Canes. But then July 1st of 2016 in the United States. I mean, this is interesting. I mean, the budget was $140 million, and it looked it. It looked pretty as hell. I gotta give it that. But the box office, man, it's not doing so well. It's only at $33 million, and I feel like they are going to lose money on this. I mean, it's been 8 days since its release. I mean, it's almost a month since the, you know, Canes. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I don't know how they're going to actually catch up with this. I really don't. It generally is receiving positive reviews from critics. I'll give it that. It's weird because, I mean, also, they got the digital, they got the 3D, the real 3D, the IMAX 3D, in basic form, you know, they got all the formats that you could watch this film in. I don't know, man. The plot is different. The plot, definitely seemed like it took a turn for the weird. Now, the movie is currently out, so I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody, but I'm gonna give you the general gist of what the hell happened. You have this big giant who decides to take this girl, Sophie, who is an orphan living in London. She's at an orphanage. He notices her, takes her, and decides to bring her back to giant land or giant country. And it's so bizarre because it's like, did he just kidnap this girl or is there a purpose to it? You find out that he's lovable, he's friendly, and unlike his other brothers, he is the only one nice. He is the runt of the giant, so he's the smallest. And now it's all a matter of Sophie is trying to protect herself and the big friendly giant, BFG, as she calls him, she does name him that, is trying to protect her and wants to... the initial reason for taking her is that, you know, he would have been caught. And I'm like, wait a minute, these are two different worlds. How can they be crossed? They did that in such a great way with the Queen of England that I couldn't believe. So, and then the whole plot is to try and get his brothers, more or less, out of giant land or giant country so that he could finally live a peaceful life. I would have to say that seems to be the ultimate goal here. Because all his brothers, all they do is torture him. They're big, they're mean, they're scary. And Sophie's the one that's going to help him. And all he wants is a friend. And, he, you know, it becomes a little dark. It eventually does get dark. So if you want to stop the podcast right now, go ahead. I am going to spoil a few. Okay. Anyway, so you find out there was this little boy that was friends with the BFG beforehand. He passed away. I think he was killed by the other giants or eaten. So he goes ahead and he takes Sophie. He wants company. Essentially, that's what it is. But Sophie's all cool for it. She's an orphan. She got nowhere to be. She got nothing to do. She fucking hates the orphanage. And apparently she's a lying bitch. So, I don't know. It seemed like a perfect fit. But, I mean, what's really cool is that she kind of wants to get adopted. You have also this whole sequence of that they show you what the BFG does for a living. He's a dream catcher. So he produces dreams and nightmares and puts them together and sends them to, you know, multiple people. For what? I don't really know. Didn't really explain that. I thought it was kind of... It was interesting. I didn't really get the concept. It's like, oh, cool, that's what he does, but why does he do it? it's just what he does. It's just what he loves doing. And then he's got all these fucking jars of dreams, kind of like a, I don't even, it's, he's got, like, labels of, like, kids' memories and memories that he can combine and create to try and make somebody fall asleep and get scared. And that's where the essential thing with the whole Queen of England is that eventually when Sophie finds and discovers the room with the little boy that was previously there, she sees a picture of the Queen of England and says, oh my God, the Queen of England could help us. What? And I looked at my brother because we went together with, I took my dad as well. And I'm like, what the fuck? What did Queen Elizabeth have to do with any of this? So, but how they ran it together and said that the Queen could help blew my mind, because that was actually put very well into perspective of how they did it, how they were able to use the dreams to put a nightmare into Elizabeth II's head. And the nightmare consisted of giants eating children of England, and a British army is now in the plans to fighting the giants. And it's the weirdest thing, because Sophie appears on her windowsill. Buckingham Palace guards are pretty much, like, up their ass in security. You got her maid, Mary, and her butler, Mr. Tibbs, which is funny. I mean, they're pretty good characters. But pretty much before waking up, I mean, you have BFG, who's trying to not make a sound and pretty much break into fucking Buckingham Palace. I mean, that's something. But the Queen soon discovers, and she meets the BFG. And to much dismay, he's very nice, very polite, but he doesn't have mannerisms. He wasn't taught well. You know, he didn't go to school. He didn't know any of this shit. But the best part of the whole movie was when they're having brunch. Is when they're having brunch with the BFG and the breakfast, more or less, with Sophie and the Queen of England. That is the best scene throughout the entire movie. And I'm not going to spoil it. It's just something you have to see for yourselves. Because it is just that. That's hilarious. But, I mean, overall, in the aftermath, I mean, you have Sophie... she begins living at the Queen's Palace. I think she gets adopted. They didn't really mention that. I think Mary ends up adopting her, because she comes and kisses her on the forehead and says, you know, Sophie, it's time to wake up. And so the BFG returns to Giant Country, begins growing a wide variety of vegetables. His brothers were actually captured by the British Army and sent to a remote island that looks extremely a lot like where Luke was left in Episode 7. So, I mean, you could compare the two. I said the same, my brother said the same thing, and he goes, that looks like the exact place. That's where they were dropped off at. And they were dropped off in the ocean, so I was shocked that they actually made it to land. But that's cool. I mean, the BFG, like I said, returns back home. He does he starts doing, you know, creating more vegetables for his garden. He delivers dreams. And after introducing himself to the Queen, it's kind of like he also receives a proper education and begins to write a book about his experiences. And the film ends with Sophie whispering good morning to BFG. And because he said to Sophie, I'll always be able to hear you, especially with these ears. That's it. And then he hears from his friend. And so it's a nice relaxing, story. Overall, it is long as hell. I'll give it that. You have Mark Rylance as the BFG, the big, friendly-hearted, 20-foot-tall, elderly runt giant who goes by the name Big Friendly Giant. Ruby Barnhill plays Sophie, the little orphan girl. Penelope Witten as Queen Elizabeth II. Jermaine Clement as the fresh... It's one of his brothers. It's a 50-foot giant who is the... de facto leader of the man-eating giants, Fresh Lump Eater, I think that was his name, like, seriously. You have Rebecca Hall as Mary, the Queen's Maid, Rafe Spall as Mr. Tibbs, Bill Hader as, the Blood Butter, it's the second, 50-foot giant in command. You got the Butcher Boy, you got the Bone Crusher, you got I couldn't even pronounce these names, honestly. There's so many of the giants that they actually had a specific name for each of them. So, that's interesting to say the least. Chris Shields and Matt, Matt Feuer, was it? As the, you know, the Queen's General. So, I think the acting, and I thought everybody was actually pretty good. No complaints with it. I thought the casting was well. I thought it was done really well. You know, you really can't actually say that anybody was bad. It was half CG, half live action. Hands down, probably my favorite part about the whole movie, besides the actual breakfast scene, was when the Queen of England needs help, gets on the phone with Nancy Reagan and says, Nancy, is Ronnie up? And she goes, no, he's sleeping. She goes, well, wake him up, which is hilarious, in my opinion. And you know what? This is interesting. Producers Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy began development on a live-action adaptation of The Big Friendly Giant in 1991 to set up originally with Paramount Pictures. Husband and wife screenwriters Robin and Robin Secord, Nicholas Carson, they wrote the screenplay in, I think it was 1998, and Robin Williams was in mind for the title role, but by 2001 the script had been rewritten. And you know what? It was with positive feedback. And so it was kind of interesting. But finally, in 2011, DreamWorks announced that they had picked up the film rights to the book. And you know what? That sucks. It's funny because you had John Madden was in negotiations to direct. However, 2014, Steven Spielberg announced as the director, with Madden now listed as an executive producer to Michael Segal. Kennedy has initially thought of Spielberg as a director, but hesitating, asking him to be more concentrated on the screenplay and the presentation. And the BFG has enchanted, you know, storylines and children, and it's embraced everybody for decades. And it was interesting to see that actually a month later, the Walt Disney Studio, you know, which was under prior agreement to distribute the film through Touchstone Pictures. And this actually, this makes sense. It seemed more of a Touchstone Picture film than it did a Disney film. Got to point that out. So if Disney wanted to produce this through Touchstone with the help of Universal, I'm not going to lie, or DreamWorks, if you will. So, because DreamWorks is owned by Universal. And so DreamWorks, that would have been okay. I would have been like, all right, I'm content with that. But then they decided, I mean, also joined the production to pretty much wipe that idea completely. You have consistently, the BFG is the first Disney-branded film directed by Spielberg. So looking forward to that, it's actually going to be good. DreamWorks did not deserve, I mean, any credit for this whatsoever. They did not even receive a marquee credit, a placement of the studio's production logo on marketing material, nor the film's opening title sequence, and instead, you know, represented by Amblin, which is the company that also produced E.T., although DreamWorks still serves as a copyright holder for the film, the film's second adaptation of the following novel. So, I mean, essentially, I mean, it's kind of not what happened. You actually had Spielberg just producing it through Walt Disney Productions, and that's interesting to say the least. And you know what? It's weird. It's full brand Disney. They could have done something with it, but no, it's kind of like they just kicked him in the ass. Again, another middle finger to DreamWorks. So, I don't know. Principal film photography at the beginning of this film began on 2015 in Vancouver and then concluded in, I don't know, was it June 12, 2015? Weta Digital worked on the film's visual effects. The release of this was, they had a teaser trailer, which is pretty badass, on December 9th, 2015, which I remember. A second trailer was released on April 5th, 2016. A third trailer was released on May 16th. The film held its North American premiere at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, California, finally on June 21st, 2016. But unfortunately, you know, the reception at the box office, the revenue is not doing well, but I don't think they should complain because they also have Finding Dorian theaters, which, I mean, is doing phenomenal. So, I mean, $33 million compared to the $140 million budget. Yeah, that's low as hell. I mean, it's not like John Carter low. But, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 72%. And that's a hell of a lot higher than they gave fucking Legend of Tarzan and The Purge Election Year, which also came out that weekend. So, interesting to say the least. Interesting to say the least. And I gotta be honest, overall, after all that being said, I will get it on Blu-ray and DVD. They send me a copy every time. They'll probably have a 3D version, which I would probably like to see, because the visuals were pretty. The graphics were pretty. The cast was fun. The story had its moments. It went all over the damn place. You felt bad. You had heart. But to say the least, man, it was fucking long. It was long, and it's like it could have ended and then went in a totally different direction. And then once you finally get to the ending, it's like, that was it? That's how easy it was? But overall, I can't really say that I didn't like it.
I did. I did enjoy it.
Were there any? I don't think there were any like cameo or references to like anything else. But other than that, I mean, it was fun. It's a nice kids movie. But they're trying to have your kids sit still for almost 2 hours during this movie. I swear to God, when I saw the poster, I didn't know that Sophie was a girl. I didn't know the name of her either. You know, I just, it looked like a little boy with the short hair. So, and I thought that's what they were doing, was basing it off the book. But they went in a whole different direction, more or less. It's kind of like a sequel to the book. I could be wrong. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I really actually gotta be honest with you. It was better than I thought. It was better than I thought. I was into it, but I also felt bad because I thought Sophie was kind of a bitch at times, but she was just being a kid. But also, I mean, the big friendly giant was nice, but at the same time, like, dude, why don't you explain why you just kidnapped this girl, you know, and why she, it was like, it took her forever to get to that point, but the whole dream sequence thing was fucking incredible. I thought that was really cool, and that should be incorporated into more Disney things. So, with that being said, guys, I enjoyed it. The BFG, the big friendly giant, 2016, you can catch it in theaters right now. Maybe when it comes out on DVD, I'll, you know, re-review this or something like that, just to see if there's any bonus features. Unfortunately, I couldn't understand most of what they were saying, because the giant didn't speak English, so I wish I had had subtitles to actually go and do this with. But that's why I'll be considering doing a review after I go ahead and watch it a second time. So, Steven Spielberg, for your first ever Disney film, I thought it was pretty good. Walt Disney Motion Pictures, you guys did a great job. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make your box office budget cut. But I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, it's only been a week. You never know what could happen. And especially with the DVD and Blu-ray sales and just the digital streaming services, Disney Movies Anywhere, you guys might catch up. And I appreciate what they're doing. The first week of this film is that if you actually submitted your tickets to the Disney Movie Awards, they give you double the rewards points. So if that wasn't an incentive to go see this movie because they know it's going to bomb, then there's a problem with that. But, I mean, Disney, it's under your name. Maybe you would have had DreamWorks done under Touchstone. It wouldn't have been that bad of a deal. But if it was the same film, I wouldn't have been mad at the, you know, the revenue for it so far. But, I mean, what are you going to do? All right, guys. Joe Major, Major Opinions here. We're going to wrap this up for today. And I got to be honest, go see it. And that's the buzzer to wrap things up. So, with that being said, guys, my name is Joe Major. Like I said, host of Well Damn Radio. Major Opinion segment. Walt Disney Pictures 2016 animated live-action film. The BFG. CG. Enjoyed it. Go ahead. Go see it for yourself. If you can wait to see it on DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy, I would say go ahead. But they really need the box office. They really need the money. So if you really want to see it, go ahead. Help them out. All right, guys. Take care, and we'll see you next week on Major Opinions.